Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome to What You Read Next podcast.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do?
Well, I'm the daughter of a British beauty. My mom actually won second place in a beauty contest sponsored by Max Factor and a candy company in the 1950s. And I'm also the daughter of a Texan who served in the Air Force and was stationed outside of London. They met at a USO dance. I write Victorian set historical romance, and I often weave both my heritages into my stories.
I love this. I love this so much. So fascinating. So talk to us about your romance journey. What was your gateway read? Did you read romance before you started writing, or was it writing and then you just discover romance? Which came first?
Well, I've always been a writer. I wrote my first story when I was about seven. It was about a fisherman who fell in love with a mermaid. And I always wanted to write a story, a novel, but I didn't really know where to put the stories that I wanted to write. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really much of a reader. But in 1990, I had to go on a trip for my company by myself. I thought, well, I need to go get a book to read since I'll be alone. And one of the genres I really wasn't interested in reading, actually, was romance. Mm. You know, they had those racy covers, and I was just like, I didn't think that was going to appeal to me. And I went to the bookstore, and in the New York Times section, there was a book that had flowers on the cover. And it sounded interesting, so I bought it, and I read it, and I just loved it. It was Morning Glory by Laverl Spencer. Mm. And when I got back from my trip, I went back to the bookstore and I went to the fiction section because I wanted to get another book by Laverl Spencer. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any of her books in the fiction section. So I went to the clerk and I said, you know, they listed her books in the front of Morning Glory. So I know she's written other books. Can you order them for me? And he said, well, I can, or you can just go back to the romance section. That's where we keep her books. And that's when I realized I had read a romance and it wasn't at all what I expected. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what I was expecting of a romance novel, but you know, it had wonderful characters, it had conflict, it had people overcoming obstacles to find love. Mm. And so by the end of the month, I'd read everything that she'd written, and I started moving on to other authors. And I discovered not only what I really enjoyed reading, but I discovered what it was I wanted to write. So
you discovered you wanted to write so historical romance, like Victorian era romance. Is that where you started, or did you dive into something else?
When I started writing, I didn't have a typewriter. I mean, I didn't have a computer. Yeah. I just had the typewriter. And so the first story I wrote was a medieval. Mm. And it was hard with a typewriter to go back and revise. It was only like 80 pages long, but it had a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I thought, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. But it was no fun to go back and edit and rewrite it. So I started writing another story, and that was contemporary. And then I wrote another medieval. And each one got a little bit longer, a little bit longer. I'd written about four books or four manuscripts. And I came home from work one day and my typewriter was gone. And there was a computer there. my husband had surprised me. It wasn't really something we could afford at the time, but he decided that I was serious about this writing thing. And so he had got out and bought me a computer. It's no fun to input what you've already typed. So I sat down and started writing another story. And this one was set in Texas in 1881. And it ended up being the first book I sold.
Oh my gosh, I love this story so much. I love this because we don't think about that. And I remember when I got my first computer, like it was a big deal. Like they were expensive. Now we take it for granted, but that was like a big deal just to get a computer and then selling the book, you know, so you made the money worth, you know? So what has been the process of like writing during the pandemic? Has it been different? Has it been easier, harder? What's that been like?
I have actually found it challenging to write during the pandemic, more so than I would have thought, since I'm used to staying home anyway.
Yeah.
I get distracted. I have days where, you know, the suffering and loss of so many would just hit me. So I find it hard to focus sometimes, but at the same time, it's when I can really get into the story, it's been nice to have that escape for me. And so it's kind of gone both ways. Some days I can really escape into it and get a lot done, and some days it's just a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like, I feel like it's just like the anxiety comes in, it ebbs and flows. I think some days you can be really productive and everything's like falling into place. And then your days are like, the struggle is upstream. It's like swimming upstream. Like you just don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. So it's understandable. Like it's not, you know, I think we had the expectation. I don't know. I had the expectation when the pandemic started, when we had the shutdown, that I was going to be so productive. I was going to get all these different hobbies and I'm just going to just accomplish all these different things. And the reality is that I accomplished some stuff. Yeah, I did. But the reality is that there was a lot of anxiety and there was a lot of stress, you know. So it's understandable that it was a challenging time. And it's still a challenging time. So
it is. But I'm more hopeful now, especially as I see more people getting vaccinated. And hopefully this will all be behind us soon.
Yes, we can have the roaring 20s, you know?
Yes.
You know, that's the bright light that I have, like shiny dresses and flappers, you know? So that came about after the flu. So maybe we'll have that, you know, with masks. But still, we can have the roaring 20s. So I am asking this question. It's a new question I'm asking to authors. And I'm just kind of curious, you know, what is something to you, a hobby, a passion, something that sparks joy for you that just feels like, that doesn't feel like work, that feels exciting to do, that you're just like geeking it out and you're like, I love doing this. It can be anything. It can be writing. It can be researching. It can be just one period of time. It can just be anything. But what would be something for you?
Well, something for me would be, it's called the Buns and Roses Romance Tea for Literacy. Mm-hmm. It raises money for the Richardson Adult Literacy Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm the chair of the committee. And so in October 17th, it'll be our 16th year to do the event. Mm-hmm. And it always fills me with excitement. What we do is we have authors. We invite authors in from all over the country, and they each host a table. Mm-hmm. And then we sell tickets to readers to sit with their favorite author at the table. And it's just, it's a afternoon tea. And it's just so inspiring, and it's fun. Everyone's there, you know, having a good time. And so it's just, I really enjoy getting the authors and the readers together and planning, you know, what we're going to serve and different things that we'll do during the event. Mm-hmm. To just make it fun for everyone. And The first year that we did it, I think we had less than 100 people. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, we had 330 people.
Oh my God.
So yes, it's grown, and it's just one of my favorite things. Once we start working to get it together, all the little things that we have to do, it brings me a lot of joy. And just it's for a good cause. Everybody is there supporting the good cause.
I love this. And so how did you get involved?
At the time, I was president of my local RWA chapter, and someone from the Literacy Center had contacted me to see if I could help put them in contact with readers and publishers, with authors and publishers. And because I was so busy with my chapter, I didn't have time, but I found some authors in the chapter who would serve on their committee. And then when I was no longer president, then I joined the committee and started, I joined the committee as the author wrangler. So I would be the one to help decide, you know, the authors that we would invite and send out the invitations. And then from there, I ended up becoming the chair of the committee.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I love the idea of like connecting readers, authors, and for charity, you know. Like we also think about reading is such a solitary experience, but we want to create community and just being able to help charity, like help others, you know, with our reading experience. So I love this.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yay. I'm so glad it's a lot of fun. I'm glad you've like done it for 16 years. That's amazing. That's a long time. So let's chat about your book. So Scandal in My Heart is a tiny little day get together one day, and we also have a Duke looking for a wife, which is unique. I have a thing for Dukes looking for a wife, like, you know, like with those experiments, like either they have like multiple dates and they have the bachelor, or in this case the Duke was like, write me a letter and see. Thank you. So it's like, it's such a unique premise. So what can we expect from this series? This is the start of a new series. What can we expect from the series? And what can we expect for readers who are looking to pick up Scandal in My Heart?
Well, so Scandal of My Heart is the first book in the Once Upon a Dukedom series. And when I was exploring one of the books in the Sins for All Seasons series, I was looking for information on what would happen if there was absolutely no one to inherit a title. Mm-hmm. I knew that it could go extinct, but I didn't know what would happen if, in this particular book, the Duke was going to die, but what would happen with his wife? The title would go extinct, but what would happen with her? Would she still be a duchess? And I ended up contacting registrar in London at the College of Arms in London. And I didn't really expect him to answer my questions, but he did. And he commented in his letter that some situations where a title might be taken away from an aristocrat. And one of the reasons would be treason. And he thought it was really unfair because it left the family with nothing, just left them on the streets with nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it intrigued me. And I thought, you know, I wanted to put my characters in a situation where they thought they knew what their lives were going to be. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly overnight, everything changes and they don't have anything. They no longer have a place in society. They don't have any money. They don't have any way to fend for themselves, and they've never worked before. Mm-hmm. And so there's the heir and the spare And then they have a sister. And the sister appeared in the last book of the Sins for All Seasons series of Beauty Tempts the Beast. So, and I introduce her to brothers in that book. And so this book is the Spares story. Mm-hmm. And and when I originally came up with this idea, I expected there to be two stories in the Once Upon a Dukedom series, mm-hmm. the Spare story and the Heir story. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned, there was that intriguing Duke and the Scoundrel of My Heart.
Yeah.
And while I was writing Scoundrel of My Heart, the Duke kept saying, you know, I've got a story. So when I finished Scoundrel of My Heart, instead of writing the Heir story, mm-hmm. I ended up writing the Duke's story. So there's going to be three books in the series now. And the Duke's book, The Duchess Hunt, will be out in the fall.
I love this. And so when you're writing a series and your worlds are connected, do you keep like a series Bible, or how do you keep track of, you know, the different characters, you know, as they may be introduced and pop up into future series?
Yes, I have, I use an electronic notebook, mm-hmm. and I list all my characters, just the descriptions of them.
Yeah.
And any little things that that might pertain to them, like the names of their estates, the names of their servants, if there's something particular that happened that I might need to reference in another book. Mm-hmm. And then what I do is I just move that notebook from series to series, so that I have all of the information. It's actually called a OneNote, mm-hmm. is the program that I use.
Yeah.
Because I can sort it by folders and mm-hmm. pages, so that I can just keep all of the information as organized as possible. I'm not always real good at it, though. Sometimes I'll write something and I'll forget to put it in my notebook, and then it'll come back to haunt me. But
yeah, there's a lot, so it's okay. Yeah. So I think it's you know, it grows, like all this different stuff. Well, you know, each book brings a new set of characters, new set of titles, states, servants, and all these different things. So it's okay.
Well, and I figured out several series ago that if I would try and keep all of my series in one world, mm-hmm. that the secondary characters, like, they all use the same physician, they all use the same lawyer or solicitor, mm-hmm. and so I don't have to come up with names for them.
That's a smart idea. I would say, as a reader, I love when authors stay in the same world, because there's like, you feel connected, you get to know the characters, you become friends with them, and you see them in different places. So with the secondary characters that you may think it's like easy just to remember, is like the character, it feels familiar. It feels like, oh, I'm just revisiting my friends again. So as a reader, it's a great experience to have authors who just create in the same world, you know.
Yeah, I like to have the characters make cameo appearances now and then.
Yeah.
And, you know, just plant little Easter eggs for the readers who have read several of the series. There'll be somebody who'll pop up or something that'll be referenced to, and they'll know where it came from. But mm-hmm. if you haven't read the books, it doesn't change your enjoyment. If you haven't read the other series, it's just a little extra fun thing for those who have read them.
I love this. So what is your favorite trope to read, and what is your favorite trope to write?
My favorite trope to read and to write is Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
I really like tormented heroes. scarred heroes. And it doesn't always have to be a physical scar. Mm-hmm. I've had, I think, 3 heroes with physical scars, but emotional or psychological scars can work, mm-hmm. can still make, I still consider that making them, you know, a beast, because they're probably dealing with that. And it's just always been one of my favorite tropes.
So good. So what has been a book that you can't stop gushing about, that you absolutely adore?
Recently, My Kind of Earl by Vivian Lorette.
Yes.
So it was actually funny because her book came out the same time my last book came out, and our books had similar themes in them. Mm-hmm. And so it was, when I was reading her book, it was fun to read it, but it was like, oh, in some ways this is similar to my story.
Oh.
But it's just, you know, I think that happens a lot. Authors are just kind of on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually interviewed each other about our stories, the differences between them, and how we, the things that we found similar in them. But I just loved her hero,
mm-hmm.
and the past that she gave him, of, you know, not knowing where he came from and being a street urchin who was, you know, making himself better. And I loved her heroine. She had such a strong heroine, very scientific minded, who, you know, created formulas that, you know, could explode and create little bombs and help get her out of difficult situations. And I love the humor that she puts in her books.
I love Jess. Oh my gosh. That book is on my TBR, so I'm excited to read it now. So tell us
if you'll enjoy it.
Yay. Tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me online at my website, lorraineheath.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, but I spend most of my time on Twitter. Not quite as good about visiting Facebook and Instagram. I don't know why. Seem to like Twitter.
It's okay. We'll put the links to your Twitter account, and so they can visit you and connect with you. So thank you, Lorraine, for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.